Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Woodward Fail
Music Speaks Podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Todd,
and Amanda Dolan.
Hey guys, and welcome back to the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast. I'm Amanda Dolan, and I'm here with host James Cox, along with two of the members of the band Reigns. We are here with Joe and Mark, one from the Midwest and one from Great Britain. So we are multinational here today, which is awesome. So thanks all y'all for being here. So excited.
Oh, pleasure.
Thank you.
And so, Mark, you said that you were back home for the holidays. So
yes.
How much do you miss Britain, like, or Durham?
Yeah, I've been living over in the US now for, I guess, coming up 2 years. And I haven't really had that much time to go back home to England. So when I do get a chance, I love it and I really make the most of it. But to be honest, I think because we've thankfully been so busy the past year or so, it's hard to miss home. Because I love the US, I really do. But I also love coming home. But it's like anywhere, you know, Durham is a lovely little town, but it's not quite, you know, the most exciting place in the world, and I say that with the utmost love and respect for Durham. But so it's nice to be home for a little bit, see the family, and then, but no, raring to come back for next year and get started again.
Do you guys live in LA full time, or?
We're scattered about, honestly. I do have to say something. I love Durham. Matt, who's not here right now, we've spent a lot of time with Mark up in Durham, and it never ceases to be the best time, especially, yeah. You know, you're close to Newcastle and it's just the train ride down to London. So I love being in England personally, and I wish I was there with you right now, Mark.
Oh, man, same. Me too.
Yeah.
Which I think it's one of the, you know, I think when we were talking earlier, I was like, yeah, I live in Denton, which is an hour north of Dallas, which is like 50 miles or so. But like in England terms, 50 miles is...
You're in a different
zip
code.
Like I can drive 10 hours and still be in Texas. Like I can go 800 miles across the state of Texas.
That was the biggest... I guess maybe not culture shock, but biggest difference to get used to was, you're right. Like in England, I would drive. If someone said, "Oh, come meet me in York, for example, which is about an hour and 45-minute drive," like, oh God, nowhere. It's miles away. And then like in the US, it's if you're driving less than two hours, you're like, oh, not bad.
I'll meet you for dinner.
Yeah, there you go.
Less than 2 hours, I'll meet you for dinner.
Yeah,
we're scattered about. I live up here in North Dakota. Matt lives down in Phoenix, and Mark, you can speak for yourself.
I live in Miami at the minute, so it's pretty unusual in the fact that we all live apart. We did all live together in LA a couple of years ago, and that was great. But then we just sort of realized that we didn't have to be in LA specifically, and. You know, we all have our partners and we all kind of went to live with our partners, and it just made more sense to live separately for the time being. And then whenever we go on tour, we all just meet up and then we do everything we need to do and then we head back home. So it works.
Yeah.
And didn't both of you all get married like within the last couple months, or am I making that up?
No, nope, yeah, you are correct.
Yep.
Yes.
So those are some big changes in lives, right? Marriage.
Mm-hmm. So I guess.
And getting.
So I guess each of you were each other's best man, or how did that work?
I wasn't. Joe was a groomsman for me. I wasn't able to make Joe's wedding. Unfortunately, I was over in. I went on my honeymoon immediately after my wedding, and then
nice.
So we got married the times didn't work out. So.
2 weeks apart. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh wow. So,
yeah.
That is a lot of wedding, a lot of friends, a lot of celebrating,
and drinking. I'll be honest.
What? No. I think like, which there was a picture, I think it might have been at his wedding, where everyone else had glasses of beer, but Joe, you had a bottle of beer.
Bottle better than glasses, right?
Yeah.
It looked like you were somewhere in England, just because it looked like there was a castle behind you.
Yeah, probably and was, honestly.
I zoomed in to try to figure out the
beer.
What's your
tequila?
Oh yeah,
oh, whiskey. I'm here for whiskey.
If I'm buying a round for Matt and I, it's whiskey, and if I'm buying a round for Mark and I, it's tequila.
There you go. Right.
Yeah. Oh, what? And what if all three of you are drinking together?
It's a rock paper scissors deal.
Awesome.
That's right. So Joe, let me ask you this, brother. Where do your amazing hats? Because I want to dress up like you one day, and I want to, you know, I mean, because you look fresh in those hats, buddy.
I'm a little disappointed that there's no hat today.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
I should start wearing the hats again. I kind of pulled back on the hats a little bit ever since my hair started growing. I got a few fedoras, some cowboy hats, some straws, some felts. Yeah. But these days I'm going.
Yeah.
No hat on the dome today.
No hats, right? Oh, yeah.
And yeah.
I know, like, Matt also has some full hair, right?
Yeah.
And you all, do you all use the same product? It was a Danish product, I think, that was Mark's.
Oh, Ruzel.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
You did do a deep dive, Amanda.
I did. I told you. And that was...
Yeah, that's scary. That's scary.
And this is like my, just off the top of my head, because
wow,
I didn't remember, you know, I didn't know if Joe would use it, but I know that that was yours. So do you share
product? If I'm running low on my stuff, I use Mark's. And honestly, Matt uses Mark's and Mark uses Matt's. They use the same stuff. So we, ultimately, we share clothes, we share hair products, so you name it. We even share socks.
Not wives.
As long as not wives and not underwear. I hope those are
please do.
Not those. So like, well, Joe, you did quite an adventure about 10 years ago where you were talking about the distance between places. Yeah. So you rode your bike really, really, really far.
You did your research. Holy smokes. Yeah. I bicycled from Bismarck, North Dakota to St. Petersburg, Florida, with my cousin and one of my best friends. We did it for cancer. It was called Bike to Believe. And yeah, it was a long haul, a lot of pedaling.
And so like you've done long haul. Now you guys are getting ready to go on tour again together. So what did you learn from that experience that you take into touring now?
It's a lot
now?
Easier to drive than to bike.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. No, I guess if I would put one thing on it, I learned to cherish life a bit more passionately. I met a lot of people along the way that either didn't have much life left to live, or you know, they were going through tough times, and I think if anything it just made me appreciate the small things a bit more. One of those things being able to drive with Mark and Matt across the country like we do all the time. So
who is the primary driver? Do you rotate?
Honestly, we rotate. If the weather's bad, I drive or Mark drives. But I'd say we, you know, when we're on the road, we kind of split it up evenly most of the time.
Who's the best driver?
I'm gonna say we all have different driving styles.
Oh, okay. Right.
Diplomatic answer.
Right.
Yeah.
That's leave it to the Brit to be very proper and diplomatic about things.
Yeah, that's a thing.
No, Joe, I think Joe is definitely, as you just mentioned there, Joe is definitely the most well equipped in bad weather.
Well, but growing up in North Dakota, I assume that you would get some snow when
I'm a speed demon. No, I'm a speed demon, James. I'm a speed demon, Amanda. I sometimes go a little too fast. I will say I'm an aggressive driver, but I'm safe when I'm aggressive. I don't speed anymore because Mark and I had a little thing down in California where I got pulled over for going a little too fast, and that scared me a little bit.
So then I have this question related to driving. Opinions of people in the left lane that are not passing.
Oh,
like people that camp out in the left lane.
I experienced that today, matter of fact. So I'm kind of like, I don't, you know, but but what are your thoughts, Matt? Mark? Yeah.
So, and remind me, because now I'm backwards. Now I'm back in England. So left lane is.
So the in the passing lane, like people just driving in the passing lane, but not passing.
Right. Yeah, I don't like that. I'll tell you what bothers me even more is when two semi trucks are trying to overtake each other.
Oh my God, that's
simultaneously horrible. They're just moving at the same speed.
Right.
So that's very annoying.
It's making my blood boil thinking about it.
Right.
Okay, so
let's get off that subject, Amanda. Okay.
Sorry.
I'm the one who gets the road rage. And by road rage, I cuss out loud. That's about it.
Same.
I
talk to other drivers like they can hear me.
Right.
Same.
Like, thanks for using your turn signal. That sure would have been great to know that you
Listen, so, I live in Miami where turn signals don't exist. And if you use them, people speed up to not let you in. So.
Yeah, it makes sense. Seems legit.
So everybody's out of their brake fluid, their blinking fluid, right?
Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah. Doesn't matter.
That's right, James.
So I know that, like, I saw that we tend to listen to Mark sing, or that's, or do you, who gets to decide the music? Or is it just whatever
whoever's
Mark decides
driving.
To sing? Whoever's driving?
Yeah. Whoever's driving. Typically, though, I mean, I'm cool with listening to anything, right? So Mark and Matt will get on these like Broadway musical kicks. And if I'm driving, I just want to see them happy. Right?
There's nothing wrong with musicals, man.
It's true. I just want to see them happy. When the vibes are great, I love it. So, I mean, even if I'm driving and they want to listen to whatever, I'm like, let's go. Let's rip some Wicked or something, you know?
Wicked is great, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That. Oh, and we just saw the movie, daughter and I.
I've not seen the movie yet.
Spectacular.
It is amazing. But watch it.
Yeah. Hamilton is also one that's big in our house right now. Cause
that's a great one.
His name is Alexander Hamilton.
He's not going to give away his shot either.
No.
But so obviously you all like lots of different kinds of music, and your music, I listen to a lot of it. And this, I know, has been said over and over again, like, y'all don't fit in a mold.
You're not
folk or pop or Americana. Like, you're a little bit of everything. So we saw world music. I saw expensive folk. That might be like my new favorite, like, words.
Mark
together.
And Matt came up with that one.
Expensive so what is folk? Expensive folk? Like, how, like, what does that mean?
Yeah.
Man, it's hard to explain, because you're right. And thank you for acknowledging that, because people often ask us, you know, what kind of genre are you? And it's really difficult for us to answer that. But I mean, if you saw us setting up before we were to play, you would maybe think that we were a folk band. I mean, Matt's playing mandolins, violins, Joe on acoustic guitars, three-part harmonies. There's a lot of kind of bluegrass instruments and folk or seemingly folk stuff going on. But the instrumentation is, or the production is not that a lot of the time. And it's slightly more expensive in the sense that it's real and it's organic, but it's a bit cleaner than that, or at least it has been in the past. So that's kind of where we coined the phrase expensive folk. And we, you know, we don't dress in like the, you know, and no disrespect to this at all, I think it's great for that. Like, we don't have like the folk kind of beat up clothes look, where we like to kind of dress up a little more than that. So I guess that's kind of where it came from.
I mean, Joe's suit for his wedding was straight out of like Grand Ole Opry kind of vibe. Oh, yeah.
That's what I went for. I wanted like an old school country, almost Elvis, George Jones, Hank Williams type of thing.
Well, you crushed that. Yeah. So,
well, thank you. Thank you.
That is awesome. But yeah, you all don't have that. And you don't even have like a look in the sense of like what people think of as a pop artist would dress. But, like, I hear British pop. I hear Celtic, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
I love Americana and folk. And so like, there's all that in there too. So like, where do y'all get that inspiration from to do a little bit of everything in one song?
I think it's just, honestly, I think because all three of us come from pretty different backgrounds and have different musical influences and tastes, it's kind of been this really weird, but ended up being this really wonderful amalgamation of all of our favorite things and our influences. Like, you know, like I said, I mean, Joe, I'll let Joe speak for himself, but at least for me, you know, I'm born and raised in the UK, but I've always loved pop music, but also definitely veered towards the more singer-songwriter acoustic-y stuff more initially. And then I loved musical theatre growing up. So like a lot of the, some of the melodic phrases kind of lean into that a little bit. And then Matt grew up in a bluegrass band with his family. And I'm a quarter Irish. Matt's Irish. I think Joe, have you got a bit of Irish in you? Or not?
I might have a couple percentages in there.
One or two right here.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. So I think it's just because of all of that and all of us having such diverse influences and tastes, it just kind of comes together as this like weird and wonderful like ball of whatever it's become.
I think it happened because we weren't trying individually to be anything we weren't, and collectively, because that, you know, it funnels down into the final product, but not trying to be anything we're not. You know, I grew up in North Dakota in a cattle ranching buck and bull family. And like Mark said, Matt grew up very Irish, a lot of Irish culture in his side of the family. He's got like 12 siblings, and seven of them were in a family band together, and they all played bluegrass instruments. And, you know, Mark just being the spectacular singer that he is, and he loves John Mayer, and he's a phenomenal guitar player, and he can sing anything, and just coming from Britain alone, that's just enough culture already. And I think we all just ended up being ourselves together, and that's what created this, what it is now.
Right. So I was going to ask you each, what is your childhood influences, you know, music, but I think that this question might be a little bit better for you, you know, essentially, and your music now. When you were growing up, what is one album that you constantly listen to, and has it helped you form your sound today, depending on that one album that you grew up listening to over and over and over again? You know, what's that one album that you listen to, and has that?
I've got an answer straight away, and it is unsurprisingly a John Mayer album, Continuum.
Okay.
I love that album so much. And I was, you know, oh God, how old was I? Sort of 14.
Don't tell me.
14, 15. I mean, I think it came out before then, but that's kind of when I discovered John Mayer, and I just fell in love with it. And that was like the Continuum was the soundtrack to my first ever little breakup when I was young. And it just, holds so much like, what's the word? Like, so much that it's just such a strong memory for me, and like listening to that, and I will never get sick of that album ever.
Nice.
Yeah. Okay. Really it good. Came out in 06. So
there you go.
I was older than 14 when that came out.
My birthday is next Sunday, so I'm, you know.
Yeah, I'm already the oldest one here, so let's just, you know.
we won't get to that. Yeah. Yeah.
I could tell you a story or mine, but instead, since Matt's, I mean, I have a really weird background with music, but I'll tell you just a little anecdote about Matt quick here, since he's not here.
Yes.
When he was, he grew up with like without TV. They didn't really have TV or anything like that, but one of his friends had bought like a Blink-182 CD, or he was listening to Blink-182 on the radio, and there was a drum fill in that song that blew his mind to a point where he told his mom that he was sick, and he just listened to this Blink-182 song all day, stayed home from school because he's so obsessed with like stuff. I mean, music in general, we all are, but Matt just really dives in and focuses in and on stuff, and I think that's a funny story.
I feel like he loves percussion specifically, I feel like.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I think that without solid rhythm, and I say this as like the whitest white girl that has no rhythm, like without solid rhythm, like music doesn't really exist.
Yeah. I mean, you think of what rhythm is, right? You have melody, there's a rhythm within the melody itself, right? Mm-hmm. And if something's too far out of the pocket or too rushed, it doesn't sound good. Lyrics, I mean, you could talk about melodical math, right? There's a rhythm, there's a meter to that. Everything there, really, it is the core of music is rhythm. So I completely get that.
And I always, James knows I talk about this all the time. Both my kids are music, mostly because school, but my daughter is in choir, my son's in choir, and he was also in orchestra. I've always thought of music as being very mathematical. So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, undoubtedly. I mean, I studied music, not at university, but when I was in high school. And what's funny is I am terrible at math. That was like my worst subject growing up. And yeah, fairly okay at music. But yeah, it is. I mean, especially when you look at like music when it's broken down. But music is a funny one, because you can not know anything about the theory and still kind of be a very talented musician just by feel and figuring things out and what sounds good, etc., without even knowing what you're playing. But if you dive into the theory side of stuff, it's unequivocally mathematical to, I mean, everything is maths. So that's why I was really, which is because this is why I was terrible at sight reading and reading music in general, I was bad at, because like seeing it laid out like that, my non-mathematical brain didn't know how to compute it very well. But when it came to just hearing something and playing it, I could do that. No questions asked. So
that's an interesting point, because I think some of the most incredible musicians I know personally are ones that don't read music. They just listen and they can play something. I have I went to summer camp in North Carolina, and there was this guy that lived in the little town that the camp was in, and he would come and play piano for us three days a week. And he didn't know how to read music. He'd never had a music lesson, and you could play him a song once and he would play it on the piano like it was, he'd been playing it his whole life. And it was amazing to watch. So, but speaking of like just hearing music or whatever, you all use some interesting instruments.
I was just going to
in creating songs.
Yeah.
So like, talk to me about weird instruments.
You want to run down to some of them?
Let's go. Yes. Yeah, yeah. I'm here for this.
I'll take the bouzouki and Mark can take the mandolin. So the bouzouki is a like Irish/Greek instrument. It is four strings. They're eight strings, but they're octaved, right? So there's really four notes that you can push, but you're pushing down two strings, right? And it's an open tuning. And honestly, I think the bouzouki is on most of our stuff. It adds a great texture, a lot of drone tony stuff. And I mean, if you'd listen to 49, you know, our most recent EP, everything has a bouzouki on it. So Matt likes to play that thing like it's going out of style. And then we also have the mandolin. Mark, you take that.
Yeah. And Matt would be the best person to speak about this, because that's definitely Matt's, I don't say Matt's primary instrument, because Matt plays so many things very well, but that was also and has been a big mainstay in all of our stuff, the mandolin, which is a really cool instrument. I think that's also Irish and maybe Greek also, possibly. I didn't have a clue what it was until I met Matt and Joe, and then I was like, what is this tiny looking ukulele thing that sounds so good?
Right. Oh, I have a story to tell you about the mandolin. The first time Mark picked up the mandolin, he essentially played the riff for what became to be Time Me the Tracks.
That's right.
I love that song, by the way. That has been...
Which blows my mind.
Okay. Now, I am... Yeah, like I always joke I'm like not the music person on here. I just like music. But growing up, we were a big music family. We had what we called the music room. It had all kinds of instruments, including dulcimer and hammer dulcimer. And I feel like I heard dulcimer on some of your songs, but maybe that was actually a different instrument.
You did. I guarantee you did, because Matt also loves the dulcimer in any form. So that is definitely what you heard.
Is there an instrument that Matt can't play at all, or is he
as long as it has strings, he can play it?
Yeah, I was gonna say anything strings.
Anything strings and piano.
Okay.
You know.
Piano has strings, right?
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, is that a string instrument?
It's keys. Yeah.
I don't know. Is it a string instrument or is it a?
I got a horrible foot cramp right now.
It's the, oh my god! Yeah, hey, go drink some water.
Yeah, not Monster.
No.
Don't be drinking Amanda. Monster. You need to what?
My
are you drinking
one today?
No wonder you have a foot cramp.
There you go.
I mean, you're right. But man, when you said that, what did the how do you say it again? The instrument? I don't even know how to say it.
The dulcimer.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, because Matt's in a plane right now on the way to Paris. I think he felt you saying that, and it irritated him.
He was
that
like,
he's not on this call right now.
Yeah.
Probably, and he like stabbed your foot just.
Yeah,
to...
That's it. You got it.
Yeah, because I love growing up. Like we always had weird musical instruments. Mm-hmm. Like I mean, and not that a dulcimer is necessarily weird, but it kind of is. Like.
Yeah.
The fact that we had like several sizes of dulcimers and a hammer dulcimer,
mm-hmm.
like is growing up, like that was always fun to play weird.
Oh yeah.
unique instruments.
And I will say this, that most of the awkward objects that you use in songs can be the best thing for you. Because I don't know if Amanda knows this, and I don't know if y'all know this too, but Collective Soul, you know, their song Shine, you know?
Yeah.
And when he says, yeah, you know, that's inside of a toilet paper roll, you know?
He really?
Just, wow.
And just say, yeah, and boom.
Wow. And wow. That's such a big part of that song.
And that was such an odd instrument to use. You know, not a lot of people play that. You can.
I mean,
just it's funny you say that, James. Last night I went to, is it the Complete Unknown? That new Bob Dylan biopic, whatever it is. I went to that last night, and there was a scene in the movie. By the way, phenomenal movie. And this isn't a spoiler; it's just a small detail. But he was in New York, and he walked by one of these street vendors, and they had like a little siren maker that, like, when you blew into it, it made this loud siren. And he bought it, and then, you know, an hour later in the movie, it cuts to him and that band, that blues band, recording a song. And he mounted that on his harmonica holder that he had right here. And he used that on a song. And it was such a perfect part of the song.
Right.
So, which is pretty cool.
I mean, if you think about like Billie Eilish, Bad Guy.
Yeah.
Like the beat
mm-hmm.
is wasn't from Crosswalk in Australia.
Yep,
that's right.
Crazy, yeah.
Old so you Phineas. Can find, yeah, that man. He is incredible. Well, both of them are.
Yeah.
And then you know you've got like Charlie Puth with a light switch. Like you can find music anywhere.
I love Charlie Puth. I'll say it.
Well, you know, and Taylor Swift said it best. Like he's underrated.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, if so Taylor talented. Swift. Calls you underrated, then like chances are you're underrated.
Yeah.
I mean, however for you sure. feel about Taylor, whatever. But so what's like the, you know, Charlie Puth starts with a light switch. What do you all start with when working on songs?
Whoa, it's tough. I mean, Matt is writing the most out of us and is definitely the sort of the primary. Well, the producer and, you know, the sort of MD behind a lot of the stuff and the primary songwriter and stuff. But I would say it can come from any which way. I mean, we've been in sessions together where it's been the beat first, or I'll be fiddling around on the piano and something sounds cool and all of us kind of go, oh, that's cool. Or Joe will pick up a guitar and just play something cool. It's always that moment in the studio where everyone's kind of messing around on different things, whether it be a sample on the computer or a pad or a drum beat or whatever, or a guitar or a piano, whatever it is. And like, there's that moment when everyone in the room goes, wait, what was that? What was that? Mm-hmm. And everyone has that communal, like that, let's do something with that. So I wish there was an answer of like, oh, we always start with this, but lyrics never, we never start with lyrics ever. Okay. And again, Matt writes all the lyrics, but it's very much like we don't come in with a, you know, a notepad of lyrics and say we have to make something fit to these. We very much make the music first, and then how that music feels sort of dictates the path of which the lyrics go.
It's not, okay, so y'all construct the melody first and then put lyrics over it, which is probably
correct. A lot of the time, yes. Yeah. So every demo that we had, or we have and will continue to have, is always just top line of like nonsense lyrics first, and then we kind of build it out and flesh it out a bit more.
I would think that making lyrics first and then putting a melody over that would be the harder path to go, correct?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I think so.
I think what people end up doing is they end up, the quality of the melody can be compromised if you're trying to fit certain words in and syllables and stuff like that.
So the two people that come to my mind that really know how to do that well are Elton John and Bernie Taupin, because as you know, you know, Bernie would send in lyrics to Elton And then Elton would construct everything around that, which I think is an insane talent to be able
real,
to do.
Yeah, seriously.
And then, gosh, there's this new guy. His name is – he's not new, but you know how in the business new means, oh, they're starting to get, you know, traction finally. There's this artist out of Nashville named Stephen Wilson Jr., and I'm obsessed with him. And he –
I'm going to be.
Yeah, you're going to fall in love, Amanda. That's all I know. So he actually writes lyrics down first and then does the music second. So those are really the only two that I can think of off the top of my head that really know how to do that well.
Yeah. Okay. I found this guy today. I didn't realize that was his name, but he was on
Bert,
a podcast. Yes. And he was like, this song's going to make you cry or whatever. Like,
oh, they do.
There's a song called I'm a Song. It's literally called I'm a Song.
Yes.
And it's not out yet.
No, of course
it's
not.
It's a really good song. It's really good.
It is. It is spectacular.
Yeah.
And I think there's so many times words, like songs are obviously like full of words, but I think it's how we interpret those words that can be really like bring the power even to the music behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we talked about, go ahead, Joe.
No, I was just listening.
Because we talked about musical theater too, and like that music behind the score, if you will, or movies too. Like it gives you like a solid feel, like that cinematic. You can tell what's going to happen based on the music.
Mm-hmm.
Like music gives you all the feels. So I think sometimes if the lyrics don't match the way that the music feels, it feels, that's a lot of feels. That's like it doesn't sound right. Like it doesn't hit the same way as I think when that the words and the music match.
Mm-hmm. You know, I will say this thing about I probably came into songwriting definitely the latest amongst us three, and it was really nice though to be surrounded by Mark and Matt all the time in their own ways when like starting to like figure out songwriting and working on the craft. I almost felt like I was constantly like around Michael Jordan and LeBron James, you know, because they're, you know, Mark and Matt are so freaking talented. I mean, Mark, if he was in person with you right now and he started playing the piano, he has this touch that he has that like you can't learn. It's just innate within him, and he could sit down and play and start mumbling a melody that's he's creating on the spot, and it's just brilliant. It's unbelievable. And then you have Matt on the other hand, who plays all these instruments, and he can do the same exact thing, and he'll go off and go bury himself in a random library in the middle of London and write lyrics for five songs that we had top lined ideas for. But they're both so talented. And I really think, I mean, we're always still learning and we're always working on our craft. Right.
Right.
But it definitely was a catalyst for me to be able to work with them so much because they're just so freaking good at it. So I just want to give Mark and Matt their flowers right now, and I want them to know that. Yeah, and I love you, Mark and Matt.
I love you too. We're a very loving band.
You all met in kind of a Joe and Matt. You, what class were you taking that you
we didn't
all were
take
like,
a class together?
Oh, you didn't. It was just like on campus. Like, hey, you look cool. Like, let's be friends.
That's exactly what it is. And if you were with us in person, you would be like, how did those two become friends? Speaking of Matt and I, it's very unlikely, but we became really good friends. I saw him on campus when he first arrived and introduced myself. Didn't start hanging out till a couple years later and started playing music a little bit. He had been writing a ton of songs. And that's when I started delving into songwriting to go back to that. And, neither of us had a lead singer voice and we wanted to do something greater than what we could do just the two of us. And that's when we went off looking for the perfect final piece to the puzzle where we found Mark. You know, it was just Matt scrolling on Instagram. We were looking, searching for someone. I was on YouTube. Matt was on Instagram. This is before TikTok. And when it was before all that stuff. And Matt was researching hashtags and stumbled across a video of Mark singing this cover called Eyes Shut by I don't know who. And, you know, you can take it from here, Mark.
Well, yeah. And then they messaged me. Go ahead.
Was this when you were Mark John?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So side note, that was I was kind of attempting a little solo career, but didn't have a clue what I was doing. I was much younger and just, you know, we've all got to start somewhere, and was writing my own
Absolutely.
Stuff. And,
yeah.
Started putting myself out there on YouTube and put a little YouTube channel together and started posting stuff. And that video was actually the first video that I ever put out, which is kind of funny. And then I get this random message from Matt on Instagram or Facebook, whatever it was, being like, hey, do you want to come and join this band out in LA? We think you'd be perfect for it. And they hit this proves how inexperienced I was with music industry lingo. They had said, Matt had put, we have been offered a pub deal. And to me, I'm like, oh, great. They have like a residency in a pub somewhere.
Like a bar.
And I was like, I'm in. That sounds great. I'll do it. And then literally 10 days later, I mean, we spoke on the phone a couple of times just to make sure, you know, I wasn't going over there to see two murderers or something like that.
I mean, do we know?
Yeah.
Is that a really long bit or they're good? And then, yeah, literally went out there for, I think, a week to LA and met them. And we all just sort of fell in love with each other. And then I loved the music. And I was like, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a difficult road. Obviously, there's a few logistical challenges moving from England to the States. And so that took a while. But we got there and it's been up and down. But it's been an amazing ride so far.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you when you met them online, like what made you feel like connected to Joe and Matt? I mean, because you said, like, they might be a murderer. Who knows? You know? I mean, what made you feel like, okay, well, these guys are these are good people.
These guys might not kill me. Yeah. I don't know. I think it was just, we obviously spoke on the phone a couple of times, and whilst that's not as good as meeting in person, you know, you tend to get a pretty good vibe off people. And we spoke, and I just felt really comfortable with them, and they were just expressing kind of what they had done and what. So I guess the more and more we spoke, the more and more I realized this is a legit opportunity that could be something really cool. And meanwhile, I'd always really wanted to be in a band and never really had the opportunity to do so. So I was like, wow, this is my first opportunity to be in a band, and it's over in America. That's really exciting. I've never been out to LA before at this point. And I was like, this could be really cool. So I just took a leap of faith. I had to risk it a little bit. And yeah, so glad we did. And then the minute we met in person, it was just like, oh, this is
a connection.
So was this before or after you recorded Long Time Coming?
Oh god, this was after. Yeah, I'd already put that song out before I met Matt and Joe. Yeah,
I would have had all of this prepared if I'd known you were coming. So sorry for my
those are some deep cuts. The
We can't tell. Well, we can't tell anybody, Joe. Come on now.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not.
Okay, James.
No, I mean, like, in case you were wondering, it's not really. Just ask your wives too.
Yeah.
It's not really the FBI that. Federal Bureau. It's the Female Bureau of Investigation.
Female.
We are freaking masters,
right?
At like finding the things.
Speaking of masters,
like I would. I would love to know more about Joe. Do you still do lots of jumping now, or now that like you're in your 30s and you got knocked off a bull, you've stopped?
So I actually still had insane hops. In 3 years ago, I was a high jumper in college, and I could jump really high. And I got kicked by a really mean cow in the leg, and it broke my femur on my left leg, which is my jumping leg. And ever since then, I just haven't been able to jump like I used to. So I ain't jumping anymore, but maybe one day it'll happen.
Damn cow.
I wonder what the cow is.
Damn cow is right.
So was it before or after the 1 second bull ride?
This is before that. So okay. I did the bull ride for my 30th birthday, and I never even told Mark or Matt about that because I figured they'd talk me out of it. And I
As
really
they
wanted
should
to
have.
Do it. Yes, of course. I'm an accident prone individual.
So, you got kicked by a cow and broke
exactly,
your femur.
Right.
Yeah.
That I had no control over. That was just an act of God.
That was just a mistake, right? Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. It was. It's true. Yeah. When you're handling, large bovine, more people get killed every year by cattle than they do by like sharks,
Yeah, nobody gets killed by sharks.
Yeah, I mean
people do, but not there's just a handful.
They're a dangerous animal. They're large, they're fast, and you can get hurt. But yeah, I hopped on a bull and didn't. I was confident I was going to go the full 8 seconds. I'll be honest.
You did not.
I was going to strap in
1 second. On a bull is a long time.
I wouldn't even try to get on a bull. No. Not just period. Although.
Yeah.
It was pretty epic, I'll say that.
Yeah, it was fun. And then we partied hard after that.
I'm glad it was not before, or maybe, I don't know. Like, you might have felt things if you had.
You might have actually lasted a bit longer if you were.
I know, like, probably. All loosey-goosey, yeah, like.
Well, to my defense, they wouldn't let me do a full wrap. I had to lay the thing over and squeeze. Well, if you lose any grip, your hand's falling out. Which is good. I don't want to be hung up. I've spent my whole life watching bull riding specifically. My family was in the buck and bull business, still is.
Oh, so it's about okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I never rode, but except for that one
now.
Time when I was
but
you have now.
Yeah.
I've been around that my whole life, and I was like, oh, I've seen so much tape. I've watched all the rides. I'm gonna last.
I can do this. And then one second later, boom, right?
But
man.
Huh? Like you didn't. What was the name of the bull? Do you remember?
No idea.
Because now, like, all I'm thinking of is like, did you go skydiving, Rocky Mountain climbing? 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. Dude,
at least you can go 10.
Sorry.
You can
That's
go 10.
So good.
Yeah.
I'm sorry that like sometimes random song lyrics just.
I'll never go skydiving ever.
Really. You don't want to go tandem where somebody is on your back. No.
Why would you jump out of a perfectly
I'd
good
only
airplane?
Do it with Mark. I'd only do it with
okay. Mark.
Okay.
We should do that. That'd be a really funny video if you and I did that.
It
together.
Could be a music video.
For,
I'm trying to think which
for like
song.
A week ago. Yeah.
That because like awesome. There's none of the ones from 49 I don't
no.
think would.
No. Maybe some of the newer stuff that's in the works might suit it a bit better.
And then cut to the very end and it goes to who's flying the plane and Matt's just sitting there.
Oh
right, yeah.
There we go.
Because I can do everything else, right?
That's funny.
I feel like I'm thinking of the songs I listened to earlier. Which by the way, I'm curious, did either of you all play, dance to, sing White Dress at your weddings?
I did not. I don't know about Joe.
Nope.
No.
Both did not.
Just curious. Like, just, I was listening to that and I was like, oh, I kind
of
dig
about
this.
White Dress, it's kind of about the woman of your dreams getting married to someone
else. To someone else.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. I guess it,
That's
oh, it
all
is,
I'm
isn't
say
it?
About that. Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. I'm not going to say anything else. I'd let Matt talk about that, but
kind of a depressing
he wouldn't even
poem.
Tell you.
Yeah.
Well, no, but I think, I don't know. I am in, you all both just got married. I just got engaged. So like,
congratulations.
Yeah.
Like,
nice.
You can't really see in that, but.
Fine.
Nice.
Right.
Yeah. So I know it's, I'm like old. This is second, we're not going to do the fancy. No, hey, like running through fields with all the, cowboy hats. And,
that's great.
Oh, I'm excited. I finally found like my person.
Great.
Took me 40 something years, but found him.
Takes the time it takes, you know?
And so, yeah, but he and I, one of the things I love about that man is that we will sing terribly together in the car.
And her kids love it.
Oh, my kids
love it.
Yeah, I'm the best. No, but like, it's just that music has like brings people together no matter where you are.
I would ask him about something that you mentioned earlier, and I'm doing this up for one word. You said the word mastering, okay? So I know that both of you, Joe and Mark, are guitar players, and I know that no one can master any instrument, probably besides Matt. You know, I don't know if you mastered them all or whatever, you know. But do you all feel like y'all mastered the guitar or is there any kind of instrument that you would like to master in the future, you know? Because a guitar is like 24 frets, 6 strings, you could do anything with it, right?
But yeah.
I don't know if you correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think it could be truly mastered or it might be, you know, delivered.
No, I agree with you, James. I think the guitar is maybe one of the hardest things to master because of what you said. I would like to try at some point, and I think that's definitely a goal of mine, to get better as a guitar player and a singer, obviously, too. But singing I've always found more natural, and definitely have improved as time's gone on, and you get better at certain things. But the guitar is so difficult to get good at. Yeah. But if I had started an instrument earlier, I'm not saying I'll never start it, but it's unlikely, it would be the saxophone. I love the saxophone. Yeah. It's such a cool instrument. Yeah, I wish. And I actually tried to learn how to play that for about 4 weeks when I was like, I think, 12 years old. And it was just not for me.
Yeah. The saxophone was half the size that you were.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I do have a question for you, Mark, since, I mean, you're here. So technically, yes, the guitar would be the hardest one. But I figured for you, since you're a vocalist, you will carry your instrument everywhere you go because it's voice, right?
Yep.
Have you? I don't know how to say this. You know, without. Are you able to say that you mastered since singing also? You know, since you
no,
which have your okay, okay.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I think. I guess you could argue with it being like a physical part of your body that there might be kind of a certain sort of genetic roof
right
to what you're able to achieve at a certain point. But I definitely haven't hit it yet. And I say that because I'm still, you know, there's so much more agility things I wish I could do better, and the runs and the control and all these things I've definitely been getting better at over the years, but I'm still ways away from the singer I want to be.
Right. Yeah.
Joe. Well, I think you're incredible.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah,
I can't say anything about your voice, man. Yeah. Your voice is amazing, you know.
Well, all of you.
Thank you.
He's the best vocalist.
Well, and the three of you all together have such a beautiful
sound.
Like, you compliment each other.
Y'all vibe with each other like beautifully. Yeah,
thank you. And I will say, just to quickly give Joe his props too as well, like, as Joe will be the first to admit, Joe, as you said, kind of came into music and songwriting a bit later than Matt and I, but is become such an incredible musician on the guitar and as a vocalist now too. And like, Joe's voice has added so much depth to what we do, and I think the biggest part of what makes Reigns is that, you know, those harmonies and the complex harmonies and the blend of voices. So
yeah,
thank you, Mark.
I love your all's chemistry together. I wish like, I wish Matt was here too, so I could get the full Reigns
experience.
We might never get Monday or something. I don't know. But we're going to go to Joe because I don't think Joe answered the master of the whole. You know,
I don't think I'll ever master the guitar.
Okay.
Okay. I really don't. If I tried my best, I don't know if I would. I think the one thing I can master is my feel for the guitar when I play, right? I think I have a feel. And just like I talked about Mark's feel with the piano and his touch, I think I can do my best to master my touch for what I have to do on the guitar. I try to serve what we're doing. Try to serve the song. I try to serve the live performance with what I do. And I think I could get close to mastering that. But as a guitar, as an instrument, like I'll never be a Jimi Hendrix. I'll never be a John Mayer, one of the goats, man. I'll never
Stevie
be a
Ray Vaughan. Yeah.
Yeah. Stevie Ray Vaughan. I mean,
I think
Santana, those are, yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Mark and Joe, but I think that the Andy Malmsteen has mastered the whole guitar, right?
Who's that?
Andy Malmsteen. I don't know if you heard of him, but he's like...
I haven't.
Yeah. I think he was in the band Black Star, like in the 80s, the 90s. And,
Yeah.
I think he's the only one to actually master it, because no matter where you see him, he's always fiddling with his, you know, guitar.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great musician, so yeah, you should definitely check him out.
Yeah,
we were talking about Mark Knopfler earlier today in our group chat, and I love that the way that guy plays the guitar.
Me
that
too.
Song "Money for Nothing," I turn into I'm a werewolf when I hear that song.
I love how you just took your glasses off. Like it was like you had to.
Yeah, this even.
I was going to be like, you're old like me, so you have to like take them off to read something small.
I play that song on the way to gigs, don't I, Mark?
We get so pumped.
Yeah.
That is awesome. So, you know, we talk a lot about mental health around here, but I always like to ask people about their vocal health.
Yeah.
Because I think that we forget that, like, you need to be gentle with your vocal cords so that you can do all those riffs and keep. So what do you do to make sure that your voice stays healthy?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. It's such a important thing to be aware of. I mean, the biggest thing is hydration. I mean, drinking a lot of water obviously is the first thing, but when you're drinking the water, it takes a bit of time for your body, for the hydration to actually affect your vocal cords specifically. So I use a steamer or like a nebulizer that sort of, and there's a specific brand that the mesh in the nebulizer produces the exact right size of like steam particle to effectively attach onto your vocal cords. So that's great. Sleeping, huge. Like anything, like if you are tired, so will your voice be. And warming up, essential. Like, I mean, I'm trying my best all the time to warm up. And it's like any other muscle too. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. But you want to be careful not to overdo it. Right, exactly. And a big part of that is your vocal technique. You know, a lot of people will be straining, and that's no good. But the problem is, even if you do all those right things and you try and sleep well, you try and eat well, you drink all this water, when you're going on these crazy tours, which we haven't done yet, but are looking likely to go on a pretty significant run of shows this year, which is amazing, really excited about. But it's like, it's hard to sing every night for 2 hours and not feel the effects, which is why I respect Taylor Swift a lot, because I mean, she's playing like these 3 hour long shows.
And you'll dance like
night.
She does too.
Yeah.
I mean, like her or not, she's
amazing.
Like she is a beast.
She's a queen.
Yeah, agreed.
Yes.
Yeah.
She really is.
So what about you, Joe? What do you do to take care of your I mean, we know it's not hydrating with water.
Monsters.
Yeah. I'm so bad. I need to take better care of myself. I'm not the person to ask about that. I'll be honest.
Okay.
Definitely not sorting cattle, screaming all day. That's right. Not what you want to do.
Oh yeah, no.
Okay, Joe. Let me ask you this, because I know you're not you're like one of the backup singers too, right? But how do you like warm up for a show? Because I know like some guitarists like practices their scales, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you have any guitar
warm ups or
how do you loosen air? I actually do. Okay. So typically, once we're, you know, sound check for us is usually a good time for warming up our dexterity.
Yeah.
I would say for every single one of us. Typically what I'll do is I'll just play like the pentatonic in like three different shapes up and down. And then I do a couple like exercises and then I'll play like a major scale a few times. Then I'll just get my guitar tuned up. I play pretty hard. So once I do that, which takes a few minutes, I'm usually, my dexterity is warmed up and will stay warmed up until the show. Cause usually the show is only a couple hours after sound check. Oh. And then when we're in the green room, Mark has this, this app that one of our old friends from England, Annabelle, created. She's a vocal coach, and we all do vocal warm-ups together on this. It makes warm-ups for vocals way more fun.
Okay.
So we do that together. Yeah.
Nice.
So do you each have a vocal coach then that you work with in addition to what you do yourself?
No. Not right now, not at the moment. We'd like to, for sure. I mean, speaking for myself, I know Mark really wants one. He's the lead singer, you know.
Yeah,
Yeah.
So definitely, I would imagine maybe at some point next year to be able to bring a vocal coach on board.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, I've started down a rabbit hole of TikTok videos of vocal coaches, and Broadway like musicals, and it's kind of fun to like watch. How just
I love those
little
videos.
Changes, but like what appears to me as someone that does not sing anything more than in their car and the kitchen when I cook, but like it's just like barely changing the shape of your mouth.
Yeah, when they like elongate the jaw.
There's
stuff
one like that
yeah.
she does that like the
I've seen that exact video.
I don't want to embarrass myself in front of y'all, so I'm like, but like the, you know, she's like. It's like something about like point.
It's like, yeah, it's when you got to reach for it. Like imagine the sounds like right here as opposed to kind of here. Yeah, there's some really cool videos. And you're right. It's you'll hear them try it and not quite get it. And she'll just do a small adjustment. And it's like night and day difference. It's crazy.
Like how did you like how? And then it makes me think like maybe if I just had a really good vocal coach, I could do this. And then it's like, nope. No, I could not.
I think you could too.
During COVID, I took up, because I was classically trained growing up. I was in choirs and then I did a lot of musical theater also before doing pop stuff. But then I've always had vocal training. So then I tried my arm at being a vocal coach during COVID, because. So I did a lot of research and all that stuff. And it's fascinating, and I truly think kind of anyone can sing with the right training.
Oh, yeah, I can. Ooh. I mean, I do much better when I sing with someone than by myself.
Yeah.
Like that's just like, I know that for myself is that even if it's just singing with a radio or music, but like I grew up in going to church and singing in like the choir as a kid. But you know, we always had music. And so that's what we, you know, sang from. And so now my daughter will be like, oh, well, it's in whatever A major. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like everything starts at middle C. That is do is middle C. Uh-huh. And you go from there. And she's like, no, mom, that's not how it is. Like, yes, it is. That's how I understand it. So that's the way it is. Don't tell your mother she's wrong.
No,
she's 17, so I'm always wrong. It's fine.
Oh yeah, I bet.
All right.
But like, there's so much about music that I didn't like. I never thought of, and all the nuance and the skills and all of that that goes with being a musician, and especially being a professional musician, because it does have to take up all parts of your life, not all of your time, but you've got to be thinking about it a lot of the time.
So I would have to say this. I am extremely, extremely jealous of both of y'all, Joe and Mark, because your band Reigns opened for the Ringo's All-Star Band. Am I correct on that?
That's right. Yeah. We did. Yeah, we did.
Yeah, the Beatles are my... it goes Elvis, Beatles, and then Beatles, Elvis. You know, it's, those are the main two bands that I listen to. There you go. So, can y'all tell us how y'all got to open for them and what it was like? Did you meet them? I want to know everything about Ringo because he is like one of the. A lot of people say that he plays. He can't really play. I strongly disagree. You know, I mean, he's a great musician. I don't know why.
Yeah. I think he's one of the greatest drummers. You talk about a guy who serves the song. I mean, that was Ringo. Yeah. He started that, I think. But honestly, getting to open up for him was kind of a luck of having the right booking agent, booking the right shows. So we had an in there, and we couldn't pass that up, obviously. You never turn down opening for one of the Beatles.
Right, yeah.
But never got to meet him. Unfortunately.
Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah. But I tell you what was interesting. We spent 2 hours on that stage, 1 hour setting up and then sound checking, and then another hour playing. And I never once even looked at that drum set.
What?
Yeah, me neither.
And we were so focused.
And I'm sure the drum set was like right behind you too, wasn't it?
It was.
Yeah.
Right behind Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, no. Jeez, yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
But it was awesome. It was awesome. And what a band. I mean, like, Steve Lukather was playing. I forget the name from Men at Work. But it was incredible. Like, every single person on that stage was just, like, next level good at what they do. So that was a really cool opportunity. It's like 5,000 people. Definitely one for the memory books for us, at least.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Nice.
Awesome. James, do you have any other questions?
Yeah. So we do have at least three more questions for you. Thank you, first of all, for coming on the show. This has been great. Y'all been awesome. But Amanda usually asks this, but I'm going to ask this to you. So growing up, in like high school and elementary school, was there any band posters in your rooms? And if so, what were they? You know, do you remember collecting any like music memorabilia that you stuck up on your walls, or you know? Because I had a few Kiss posters, country posters. You know, I had a lot of stuff. So did you have anything cool?
I had Slash.
Slash.
Thanks.
Yes.
I actually think the only poster I ever had, music poster that I ever had, was Britney Spears.
Hit me, baby, one more time.
There you go, brother.
My loneliness is killing me. Sorry.
Yeah.
I should not sing.
She doesn't have a good voice, doesn't she?
No.
Yeah.
You don't have to lie. No.
Oh, no.
So, Joe, what about you? Any
Britney Spears
music?
Yeah, I never was able to, I never had a music poster, but what I would do is, like, I got CDs, like my older siblings or my mom would buy me CDs, and I would just take out the liner notes insert.
Yeah,
and I would just hang that up.
Nice.
So I had the Eminem Show by Eminem hung up. I think I had Confessions, Usher. I had some Garth Brooks ones.
I love Garth Brooks, yeah.
Okay, and now I understand why we cannot describe what your genre of music is.
Right.
Eminem, Usher, and Garth Brooks.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah. So, that explains
it. Chronic 2001 by Dr. Dre.
Dr. Dre, like, man. Yeah, that's a classic
What's
album.
What's the difference between me and you? Love that one.
Man, they're like, okay, well, I'm...
Yeah. Well, I mean, I had similar... Well, not similar, but... Like, I listened to everything from Tori Amos to The Offspring.
Yeah.
Oh, so, that one, you know, too, with the cigarette. Yeah, The Offspring.
Yeah.
Bleating, glopping, globing.
Oh, so many, like... You. Now I've got to, like, go back and listen to some things. So what was the first... Like, you said you got albums from your... Like siblings and mom, but what was the first one that you, either one of you all What was the first CD that you bought for yourself? Like with your own money at the store?
Or was it cassette?
They weren't. They're too young for cassettes.
I think I bought a My Chemical Romance CD with my own money once.
Yeah.
Like when I was younger. Because I definitely went through that sort of like I love Bowling for Soup. I went through
Bowling right down. They live right here in Denton. Did you know that? Yeah.
No, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Now that I know you all, if you come back to Denton, Chris Barney is a friend of mine, and so I will definitely.
Oh please.
Let you. Yeah.
We've got to come back. That and then I also bought a Def Leppard CD as well. Oh, I went through a whole Leppard musical journey.
I think we all have.
Yeah,
I would say Kid Cudi, Man in the Moon, Volume 2. That was the one that I was like a 10th grader, I think. That was the one I bought. But like my siblings and my mom bought me a ton of CDs. So.
Oh, yeah.
But that was the one where I like did the exchange.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You're
That's awesome.
Amanda, do you know what your first CD was?
Oh, yeah. Of course. And it's so funny now that I think about it. But it was Milli Vanilli. Blame It on the Rain.
That's right. You did tell me that. Yeah.
Nice. So they didn't even actually sing it, but
nope.
Someone did, just not.
Someone did, but not them.
not the ones that were on the cover.
Right.
But yeah, that was the first one that like I purchased.
Yeah.
But I had a lot. You all didn't have like the Columbia Music that was like you paid a penny and you got 10 CDs or whatever. Did that still exist when you all were?
Not that I know of.
No, not that I know of either.
Yeah.
Or Columbia. Yeah. Columbia House. Is that what it was?
Yep. Columbia House. Yep.
Sorry. Yeah. So that was, you got to pick all the.
Yeah.
And I remember my mom wouldn't let me get an Aerosmith big ones because it had an explicit lyric next to it.
Oh.
I was really.
How about you, James? What was your first?
AC/DC Live.
Oh, nice.
My mom asked me, do I really want this? She said, the crowd's going to be screaming. I'm like, yes, give me some AC/DC. And I fell in love with AC/DC from there on,
But fun story. I actually had a phone call with Angus Young once.
Really?
Nice. By accident.
How?
I used to sell houses. And I used to work for a real estate company. This is many years ago.
Yeah.
And I get a random phone call and I pick it up. And after some back and forth, I find out that the person I'm speaking to is Angus Young. It was crazy. Dude. So I had a brief chat with him, not about music, about buying a house, but it was still pretty cool.
He just called you by accident? I mean, like, how does that happen?
He saw a house that he liked that was listed from the company.
Well,
I love those weird stories though of like meeting cool people by accident.
I would ask Amanda to give you her story about how she met John Milliken, but I think she's over that story.
Oh no, it's funny. Still funny to me.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
So growing up, I grew up in Louisville and Derby was always a thing. So the first weekend of May, all the famous people, came to Louisville. And one of my good friends growing up, his cousin was Kenny Aronoff, or is Kenny Aronoff. He's a great drummer. Was John Mellencamp's drummer for many years in the 90s. And he was happened to be at my friend's house. And I went to go to the bathroom and I'm walking down the hall and John Mellencamp walks out. And I look at him and I go, you're John Mellencamp.
And it just walked away.
And then he walked past me and I went to the bathroom. And that was the entirety of that interaction. And it's simultaneously hilarious, and I still am embarrassed by that 30 years later.
You think he'll remember you if
he does? He's like, I met this crazy this one time in the 90s. This crazy chick just looked at me and told me my name. That is what that's all it would be.
Yes.
But yeah, that was my one weird, meeting someone accidentally.
Angus Young, man, I can't believe it. That's wild.
So,
That is wild.
Well, the other question that I love to ask is if you had a Mount Rushmore, so Mark, and that's close to you. Well, I mean, South Dakota, right?
Yeah.
South Dakota. Close.
Yeah,
so your Mount Rushmore of music, like what would be the four artists that you would put up there? Like memorable?
I think I would definitely put John Mayer up there. I would put, I do love Dire Straits a lot.
Yes.
So I know that's not just one person. I would maybe Eric Clapton. I'd put up there too.
Okay. You got one.
And one more. Who am I thinking of? I'm trying to think of someone who's just really. That's really hard. Come back, Joe. You do yours, and let me think about my last one.
Okay.
My Mount Rushmore for who? For me.
Yeah.
Right. I don't want people thinking that this has just got to be for them.
No, this is just you.
Right. It's just you.
This is Joe.
Yeah. This is Joe. Mount Rushmore.
Michael Jackson.
Uh-huh.
Bruno Mars. Justin Timberlake. And. Oh man. I've got to pick a country one. I'm going to go with Dolly.
Yeah. Oh, heck yeah. Dolly. She is.
Have you heard her rock album yet? It's amazing, dude. It's amazing.
Dolly or Bo Cephas? Hank Jr.
Can't go wrong with them. Yeah. Can't go wrong with those four or five. Yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Okay.
And my Mount Rushmore is still in development. It's
Fair enough. Okay. It's a hard question to be put on the spot and be like, what are the
those would probably change. And if you ask me tomorrow, that would be a different Mount Rushmore. Right.
I know. Which is kind of the beauty of it.
Right. The minute we hang up with you, damn it, I should have said him. I should have said
definitely.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, for me, my music taste has stayed pretty much the same, but like I'll find new artists that.
Oh yeah.
You know, all of a sudden I fall in love with, and then I do a deep dive and I find other musicians like them, or I find, you know, who they were in bands with previously. So I don't know if you all figured this out yet or not. I can find things out about you. Yeah.
No.
Like, I am curious who Olivia White is.
Olivia White.
You were in love with her.
I was.
2011. Yeah. You said in April 1st, 2011, that you were in love with Olivia White.
That might have been... Oh, that was almost definitely... Where did you find that? It was on Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, so... There was a thing going around with at our school where everyone would, like, Facebook hack each other. And I remember...
Oh, okay.
So that was definitely her on my account posting that. Because she was just like a good friend of mine growing up in high school, and nothing more.
But I can find some things out. It's not as hard as people think. Like, it just isn't. You just have to know where to look. So
and what to type in.
Just gotta be a little patient and sometimes go to the second or the 15th page of the search results and you'll find what you're looking for.
There you go.
So
all right. Did you want to ask or do you want me to?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect.
You want me to do it? Look at us, like, we don't know.
We don't know what to do here anymore.
James, you go.
Okay, cool. Okay. So this is gonna be the hardest question of the night. Are y'all ready?
Yeah, ready.
We're good to go. Okay. So, is there one album, song, or artist that you can listen to right now, but you can't tell me, Amanda, or your family how it makes you feel deep inside your soul?
It's that music that just
speaks to you without.
Yeah, it speaks to you in a way that, like, you just can't explain, but you always go back to it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Cody, it's hard. and this is something like everybody, you know.
Yeah, there's a song called Heartbreak Warfare by John Mayer that I just don't know how I'm feeling when I listen to it, and every time I do listen to it, it's just like goosebumps, tears. I don't know whether I'm happy or sad. So that's mine. Heartbreak Warfare by John Mayer.
So
came out in 2009. Okay.
More with that question. I don't know if you know. So what mood do you have to be in to listen to that song? Because I know music helps with depression and anxiety. It can motivate you. It can make you happier. You know. So what does Mark has to be in for you to listen to?
Yeah.
Is it more like a helpful song for you? I mean,
I don't know if it's a helpful song. I think, I mean, because I'm a pretty, and I, you know, no one is without their moments, but I'm a pretty optimistic and for the most part, happy person, which I'm very grateful about.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, especially back in the day, it was more of a sort of reflective song for me, or at least, and I don't even necessarily think the lyrics correspond with that sort of vibe, but again, the way the music sounds and makes me feel was sort of that poignant looking back and reflecting. That's kind of the mood I would, even if I wasn't in it, if it, the minute I turned it on or I heard it, it would put me in that space.
Got it.
Yeah.
Joe?
And I just looked it up. I love those lyrics.
For me, right now, yeah, I would say Grief Is Only Love by Stephen Wilson Jr.
Ooh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, yeah, I mean, that's the mood I'd have to be in. I don't think there is a mood. You know, if it comes on, it's just, that'll make you, for me, it makes me feel to my core. Just makes me feel whatever I'm feeling at the moment to the core. And I love that song right now.
Yeah, because lately I've been doing some grieving, and grief is love with nowhere to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not necessarily even going through grief right now or anything like that. I just have never heard that before. And it was so profound the first time I had heard it. Grief is only love that's got nowhere to go. Wow. You know, and, you know, the verses are incredible, and it's just, it's one song that front to back just totally encapsulates that feeling. And I love it.
Well,
that's actually, I didn't realize, I didn't realize that is one of the lyrics.
Yeah.
I just looked it up. I just say that grief is love with nowhere to go. So
yeah, crazy.
Maybe I need to listen.
Listen to it.
I will.
Stephen Wilson Jr., correct?
Yeah. Yep. Oh, Stephen it's already.
Jr.
Okay.
I make notes.
Okay.
Whenever anyone recommends, I'm like, okay, that's because I can't remember anything to save my life most of the time. So
that's not
thank
true.
You guys. Oh, no, it is. Unless it's completely like random facts, like,
right.
I don't even
unless
know.
We need to find somebody, right?
And then I can find things. I just can't remember them.
Okay.
But I was like, unless it's, I went watch shopping, and like, there's all kinds of fancy watch brands out there. But one of the ones I love is Doxa, and the initial like designer of Doxa watches was the grandson of Ulysses Nardin, who makes some of the most expensive, beautiful watches. But Doxa was also the official timekeeper for the Bugatti car racing team in the 19 whatever. So see, like, I know random stuff like that. Why do I know that? I don't know. There's no good reason for it. But yeah, so, and random song lyrics that I will just finish your sentence with a random song lyric instead of actually listening to what you say. It's fine. So. But I also won't be able to tell you what the name of the song is or the artist.
Luckily you have that open on a tab.
No, you're
yes,
right.
I know, yeah. No kidding. Like, what would I do without the internet?
Exactly.
Actually, I'd probably have a whole lot more time for more interesting things. Yeah. I wouldn't rabbit hole and find Olivia White or that you were a high jumper and drove. And then there was this really cool like dance video thing in like a weight room you did with like a muscle, like, or a, I don't know.
Yeah, one of my best friends. Yeah, me and him used to dance all the time.
With kettlebells and everything.
Yeah,
I mean, it was
that was it.
Not not cowbells.
Kettlebells.
Kettlebells. Yeah, yeah. Which I feel like is, I want to make sure that I know I'm saying the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
It was kettlebells. But yeah, so thank you guys so much, though, for being here and letting us learn a little bit more about you all, your band, your musical process, and letting me tell you random things about your past.
Our pleasure.
I appreciate it.
Our pleasure. So yeah. Much. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. And our social media.
Both of you.
And on social media, it's Rage Music. It's all like Facebook, Instagram, TikTok.
Yep.
Okay. And it's RAYNES.
Yes.
Yep. RAYNES Music. Yep.
Right.
Cool. Awesome.
So,
thanks again for being here.
Yeah.
Our pleasure.
Thank you
so
much.
Thank you so much, guys.
This is really fun.
And please come back anytime you want to, you know.
Yeah, just
yeah,
let
we'll
us know.
We'd
love
around.
To.
Just
yes, I want to meet this guy. He sounds like a character.
Speaking of future endeavors, is there like a brand new album or a new EP coming out that you'll have to offer?
We have a lot of without getting too much away. We have we have a lot of new stuff in the works for early part of next year and beyond, and the tour schedule is filling up and we're adding more dates as we go, and we have a couple of big announcements for some big shows lined up for next year. So yeah, all looking pretty good so far for next year.
And 49 just came out a few weeks ago, a month ago.
Yes, we actually have vinyls for sale right now online at our store.
James loves vinyls. Yes.
You can
see go to rainsmusic.com, RAYNES music.com. You'll see we have a ton of merch for sale right now, including the vinyls. So get yourself some threads, some new threads, some new vinyls, and everything will be all good.
Is it like
awesome?
Now, do you have like limited vinyls? Because I know limited vinyls.
Yeah, limited pressing.
You can color any color you want to, right?
Yeah, we printed like less than 300 of them. So they're out, they're out.
Yeah. Nice.
Awesome.
I'm definitely going to have to order me one because I love vinyls. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah. I see that. Yeah. You got to get a Rains vinyl.
Yeah.
I love plants.
Well,
we can do a Rains plant, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I mean, like.
You could do it.
I have there's probably 100 plants in my home right now.
Oh wow!
It's a problem.
Hey man, you
have
green
thumb.
You have enough.
No, I really don't. I just, I just kill plants and replace them. That's fine.
Oh,
that's okay. I mean, that's actually kind of a lie, but not really.
At least your dogs are still living, right?
Yeah, I've got three dogs and two kids that I've managed to keep alive.
There
so
you go.
That's good.
There's
you're
something.
Doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing great. Yeah.
So anyway,
all right,
well.
Guys.
Thanks for being here, and thanks everyone for listening. And always remember, when words fail,
music speaks. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.